In the beginning, I'm going to have to plow through a little bit of what you might have already been taught, or maybe the way you understand a few things, because if you don't get this right, you won't understand what he's actually going to multiply in this last hour. And if we get this right and understand how he's going to multiply his kingdom out and really understand the word of God, you're going to see these words are like lightning upon lightning upon lightning. And when you scratch the surface and he peels a layer off and you see the lightning underneath, it does something to you. It imparts something to you, and it allows you to see something you couldn't see before and see the glory of something you may have been preached before. And you see it in a way that's so profound that you understand it's how it's going to actually come out and birth out. So go to Romans 8. We preached a message right in the beginning of the right hand of God called "The Blessing is in the Water." Because he hadn't even said anything about this in a long time. And all of a sudden he brings all this full circle back. I mean, starting like Thursday morning, just blew the thing up. And I understand why he gave it and what's about to happen. We started talking about this glory. I'll read this to you in verse 18 of Romans 8. "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is within." He's actually talking about the resurrection body here, that the day of resurrection. And he said, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to that glory when it manifests." But notice where he said it was. You read right there before and after, you'll know for certain he's talking about the glorified body. He said the glory is within. That glory is not just coming on us arbitrarily. It's already in us. Well, we start preaching this the last couple of services, but then he just exponentially multiplied this out this week. Before we jump into that, I want to go back into Romans 8 verse 2 and look at this for a moment. Now, it's very important that you hear what I'm about to say to you. Because if you don't see this, you won't understand what God's about to do in the last days. For said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, number one thing you gotta know, and I'm gonna try with all my heart to prove this to you today, it's not the Holy Spirit he's talking about here. He is a governor of that law. He is the administrator of that law. He is the one that will take that law and turn it, the water, into wine. But it's not expressly speaking about him. Okay? Even though there's a big S in your Bible right there. I can tell you right now, it's not speaking. And if you'll stay with me today, I'll show you exactly what this is talking about. There's three spirits mentioned in Romans 8. It's the human spirit or your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit is definitely mentioned in Romans 8 and the law of the Spirit of life. Except when they mention spirit throughout the Romans 8, sometimes he doesn't add the caveat law of the Spirit of life. He just says spirit. And you got to discern whether he's talking about you, your spirit, like the body's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit either. That's talking about your spirit that's been passed from death to life. Your spirit is life. And then there's the law of the Spirit of life. So I'm going to get into this because once that curtain peels back today, you're going to understand what he's about to do in the body of Christ. And it's profound. Jump on over to John 16 for a minute. And I want you to see something. And I want you to keep what I'm about to say to you in mind my entire teaching. Because sometimes when you got to teach someone something they've been taught all their life, they can't always see it, and their soul's going to wrestle with it. They're going to wrestle with what you're saying. And when your soul's wrestling, your spirit is not being able to comprehend what God's saying. I want to share something with you that'll help you understand what we're saying here. John 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth," this is definitely speaking of the Holy Spirit here, "when he's come," he said, "he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself." The one thing you need to understand, Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, co-equal in every way. However, in this ministry dispensation, he is not here to represent himself. He is here to represent the Lord Jesus. He is here to represent all that Jesus did for you and I. That's why he said he will not speak of himself. He will not glorify himself. That's why really you don't worship the Holy Spirit. You can honor him, but it's extremely awkward to try to worship the Holy Spirit. The reason is in this dispensation, he's going to turn that to the Lord because he is here to glorify all that the Lord said. He shall speak and he will show you things to come, for he will glorify me. This is his primary operation in the body of Christ. He's going to glorify me. The Lord Jesus is saying, and he will receive of mine. He's going to show it to you. All that the Father has is mine, but he's got to show that, reveal that, and transmit that. Now, he is the great transmitter. He is the governor of all this stuff. The Holy Spirit is in charge of a lot of things, but he's here for the work of redemption, and he's here to glorify the Lord, and the Lord's here to glorify the Father. It's amazing how they work together. The Lord glorifies the Father. The Lord wants to introduce you to the Father. Holy Spirit wants to introduce you to Jesus. We want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. See how the train works? Praise God. Now remember that as we kind of move into this. He speaks of the law of the Spirit of life in Romans 8. He speaks of the law of sin and death. Now the law of sin and death is mentioned several different ways in the book of Romans, Corinthians. Back in Corinthians he said, as in Adam, all died. Now, I know that you don't realize, but before you were born again, you were dead. Classified by God as dead. Jew and Gentile alike, they were just classified. Even though they're God's people, they're classified as dead. Because he said, as in Adam, all died. In fact, in Romans 5, he said, death passed upon all men. From Adam, because God breathed the life of God, when the law of sin and death entered into the human race, Adam and Eve had the power to procreate, and they procreated eternal beings, but death was passing down. Now that's important to understand because you were classified as the dead, even though you're walking around in a body. That's why the Lord said, let the dead bury their own dead. Because I'm coming to have life. I'm about to give you something that nobody's ever seen since my day before. In fact, he said the dead is about to hear the voice of the Son of God and live because they've never heard a voice like mine. John 5, look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. When he says verily, verily, that means listen up. He says, I've got something to say to you. Truly, truly, I'm going to tell you something. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. But the Father's going to show him all things. Now he's going to tell you something that's so powerful. Verse 20 says, for the Father loveth the Son. Verse 20. And he shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works. And he's talking about some serious works. Raising the dead, blind, maimed, lame, halt. He's going to show you greater works. He's going to actually predefine the works he's speaking of, and they're far greater than anything else that they saw in his earthly ministry. He said he'll show him greater works than these that you may marvel. And he's going to talk about two massive operations that were rolled up in one operation of God. And he's going to define that. Verse 21, he says, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. You can take the word them out. That's why it's italicized, because it really doesn't belong there. It says, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, even so the Son will quicken whom he will. He's talking about himself. He said, the Father is going to raise me from the dead. That you're going to marvel at this. And then he goes, and once he does that, I am going to be given the power to raise others from the dead. Now you have to understand what he's talking about in the sense of dead. Drop down to 24 and he's going to explain what he's saying. He says, now verily, here he goes again, verily, verily, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And then he says it again. He's about to explain what he just said. The hour is coming, and now is, that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. For as the Father had life in himself, he has given the Son to have life in himself, and he's given the Son to execute judgment. He said, the hour is coming now. and now is. Here's what the Father's showing him, that the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God for the first time. He's speaking of every single human being on the planet. He's not talking about the people in the graves. He's not talking about people in Abraham's book. He was talking about if you and I were in that time, he's speaking of us, the dead. They're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they're going to live. Because as the Father has life in himself, he's going to raise me from the dead, and I'm going to have life in myself, the same life I'm giving to the world right now. And then he's going to give me power to execute judgment over the spiritual death of every dead man walking. And if they hear my voice and they respond to my voice, they are going to pass from death to life. And then he says something else. That's all. That's what happens when we're born again. I don't like to be called saved because we're reducing something that's so intensely powerful. You're going to find out that he programmed two massive operations into you when you were born again. There's another operation already pre-programmed to happen already inside of you in the form of the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. See, he gave his life for the world. The Father's eternal life in himself, he gave to me the eternal life. Now I've been given authority and power to execute the judgment over every dead man walking, to take their eternal death out and put eternal wellspring of life with them. Now John is actually giving an exegesis masterpiece here, honestly. But in every book of John, he's talking about the life. In every chapter, that life is threaded through the entire book. And this is the part he's talking in chapter 5. He paints this huge panoramic picture of this glorious life, its capacity, what it did for us, that no one needs convincing, and what it's about to do for us. Now, notice what he says in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour has come and now is. See, now was the time that he could release this. He was going to pay the price. He was a week or two away. He was going to pay the price. And suddenly, through the mouths of the apostles, they were going to hear the voice of the Son of God and pass from death to life. Now he's going to say something else. And he's going to say this in verse 28. Marvel not at this. You can look at it that way. He goes, I got something else to say about this. Says the hour is coming. Now he doesn't say the hour is coming and now is, because now wasn't that hour. But he says the hour is coming that all that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. And they shall come forth. He's talking about the end time resurrection here. He said all the bodies that are in the graves are going to hear my voice. And I'm going to call the bodies out of the graves. I think we're the generation that are not going to die. We're going to be caught up with him. Amen. But everybody, I don't care if it was disintegrated, burned, thrown into the sea, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It doesn't matter. God's going to call every single body that a person that was born again. He's going to call the dead bodies in the graves, and the bodies that were dead are going to awaken in the grave. And if they were disintegrated, they're all going to come back together. If they were burned, they're all going to forge and form together simultaneous in a moment and twinkle of eye. They're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and everybody will simultaneously be resurrected. Now he said both of these are the Father's greater works, and Romans says that glory is up inside of you. Now I want to take a little deeper look at this dual operation. And what does that mean to me? Well, that's great, Pastor, but I'm really looking forward to a glorified body, but how does that help me now? Well, I'm glad you asked that. I mean, I want my glorified body, but if we do, we're out of here, right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Colossians says it calls by faith, by the operation of God, he came out from the dead. And it's become the first fruit. He came out first. Spirit, soul, and body. He said, And since by man came death, by man will come the resurrection of the dead. Now this whole chapter is speaking about the resurrection of this body. Amen. He says, now as Adam all died, even so Christ shall all be made alive. Then verse 24 cometh the end, when he's delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and he have put down all rule, all authority, power. Now watch this. The last enemy, he must reign till he's put down the last enemy. And the last enemy is what? Death. He already put it down. He already has the keys. It's already been put down, but it's going to be orchestrated simultaneously at the resurrection when he calls every dead body out of the grave. And then you and I that remain said, and then we that remain are called up into the air. Instantaneously, blink your eye. You're there. Boom. You're done. What happened to your spirit? Now, I need you to understand something. You are not a sinner saved by grace. I am a new creation. If you're a sinner saved by grace, you are missing the boat. You won't miss heaven. You're just missing the boat. Say, I am a new creation. There's not many of us in here need convincing of what happened to our eternally dead spirit when we were born again. God instantaneously, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart, instantaneously something went off inside of us. And something translated our spirit out of death instantaneously. Eternal death was instantaneously removed from our spirit. Sin was removed from our spirit. Dysfunction generationally was removed from our spirit. Darkness was removed from our spirit. And instantaneously something got set inside of us called the law of the spirit of life. It was a law that the Lord purchased with his body. He says, I am the life of the world. I am the bread of life. I'm going to give my body for the life of the world. And I'm going to purchase a new law. And that new law is going to supersede the law of sin and death in every way. First in spirit and then into the body when redemption is completed. I'm going to completely override death, decay, dysfunction, sin, and the systems of this world instantaneously.
Well, that's good, brother, but I'm going to wait for the rapture.
Now, go on down and look at verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're that generation. What he's talking about, we're not all going to die. Our bodies are not going to lay down. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump. The trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transformed. He's talking about your body. And this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when corruption is put on incorruption and mortal is put on immortality, it shall be brought to pass the saying, death what is swallowed up in victory. He's going to swallow up death in a moment's time. And he calls it victory. Go over to 2 Corinthians 5. And he's talking about this tabernacle. Now I'm going to take this all here in a second. And I'm going to bring it all into our day. I want to take this power and show you that what is already pre-programmed, I'm going to show it to you twice, that it's pre-programmed inside you. Do you know you have a resurrected body already pre-programmed inside the life that's inside of you? The life that initiated when you were born again was phase one. Phase two is a programming that's already in there. It's all going to go off simultaneously in a moment's time. Life that will swallow up death. The last enemy to put down is the death, and redemption will complete. Well, that's great, but I need this now. Because when that happens, we're out of here, right? Which is awesome because we can go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and chew on lamb's legs, but still, we need it now. So verse 4, 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. We're kind of in an intercession. When you get close to God, you'll start feeling the restriction of this body. You'll feel the restriction of the soul. You'll feel the restriction of the part of you that's not been made heavenly yet. It'll restrict you and it causes a groaning because half the things you and I deal with is not the devil. Half the stuff we're dealing with is the infirmity or restriction imposed upon us by what we wear in this body. Like Jesus said, those guys couldn't even pray for an hour. He says, look, the spirit's willing. It's your flesh that's weak. Every time you go to pray, you'll feel the restriction sometime. And sometimes it's not the devil, it's just your body. It's the thing we wear called this mortal body. It's the soul that hadn't been transformed. How many of you know your soul didn't get born again? Now, it's amazing when you get born again, certain things he just cut off immediately. It went suddenly from death to victory, from bondage to release. How many of you got that when you're born again? Some things. And then other things, it's like arbitrarily left there. I mean, why didn't you just scoop this up while we were at it? Like generational dysfunction, you could have scooped that up and half the people in this church would be a whole lot more whole. They wouldn't have had to run into that guy, you know. Why couldn't you just scoop up the control while you're at it? Why didn't you scoop up the extra stuff that we deal with? The garbage, junk in the truck. You know, the stuff after you've been walking 20 years in a full gospel. And all of a sudden, all the junk comes out. I'm like, where'd that come from? It was always there. Hidden capacities, layered capacities. The soul is a deep matrix. It can store stuff. That's why your soul can remember stuff from 20, 30 years ago. It stores everything. Good, bad, the ugly. And if you go through traumatic experience, it'll shut down parts of you and develop a personality just so you can exist and live. And if you really get shut down, it'll invite some warriors in. But they're not angels. They're big demonic beings. And they're sent there to control the gate. And if anybody touches your gate, they're going to get a mouthful. And those demonic beings called protectors or whatever you want to call them, they get really good. And you think they're part of God's mechanism inside you. In reality, they're just there to protect the fear in the little child. So we're grown adults with a little child still running around inside of us. But we're born again. Hallelujah. And our spirit's running in joint heirship. And our soul is running around with a pacifier in his mouth. The sons manifested sons of God. It's because that stuff still has that old thing running in it called law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is the root of all sickness, all disease, all dysfunction, all infirmity, all darkness, all strongholds. It doesn't matter if it's pride from depression to drug abuse. It doesn't matter what the dysfunction or the stronghold is. It's all been instigated, initiated in birth out of the law of sin and death. When he cut that thing off in your spirit, you were born again. Your spirit is seated in heavenly places and that law no longer operates within your new man. But it still can operate in that other man. Can I get a witness? And so we fight, we struggle. Different people are better. Some are Mary Poppins. They're really good. It just, you know, concealing it. Just because what's up inside. To get what's inside overcome is the hardest thing ever. We've all been struggling on it. We've got sozo for it. We've got deliverance for it. But you still have that law operating. Until that law gets offset and a new one gets set in, you won't see the full transformation. But he's teaching us how to get the transformation now. And I got to show you that you have something so powerful inside you that's waiting like a lion to roar out of you. And you don't have to wait till the day of resurrection to get it to roar. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle, your body, do groan. We're in intercession. We want relief. We want release. We want to get out of the restriction of this flesh. Being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, say unclothed, but clothed upon. Now watch his word here. What did he say in Corinthians? Death was what? Swallowed up with what? What really swallowed the death up? He said that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Life. When Jesus said in John 10, which that was a big gate, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 4 said, if you knew the gift, but he said, it shall be in you a wellspring. It'll be in you a wellspring of life, springing up, bubbling up continuously. And it says unto, I could never understand that. Why did you say unto eternity? He said, because these waters were supposed to start flowing day one. They were supposed to bubble up every day of your life, all the way to the day you step out of your body into eternity. They were supposed to feed your soul. He made some pretty remarkable statements. He said, if any man drink of this water, he will not have to thirst again. There is something we can drink of that's more than just life. It's overcoming glory. It's overcoming, and everything that's dead will instantaneously brought to life when this kind of water flows. And he already said it can burst forth within you. Boom. Verse 4. So death, we swallowed up. This whole body machination of death. Law of sin and death. Strongholds. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. All this junk in the trunk. The very core nature of this body. He said it'll be in a moment's time. Say a moment's time. It'll get swallowed up with life. In a twinkling of an eye, just like your spirit. That's what kind of power that's in this law. The same law that went off in your spirit is going to have a phase two machination, and it's going to go off into your body. Your body's going to get born again. And he's going to roll it actually back. We're all going to get rolled back to 30 years old. Some of you got to get up to 30, but the rest of us are going to go back. He has some serious promises about how this life is going to burst forth from a fountain, from the Lord's temple in the last days. And this life is going to cover the entire known world. And every plague is going to flow to the Dead Sea of humanity. And everything that's dead is going to live. But half of the waters are going to be cut in half. And the other half are going to flow to the Sea of Commerce. They're going to flow against the king of Tyre about the world's wealth system. These waters are powerful. It's see, before God unleashes the fountain within, we're not unleashing the Kraken, we're unleashing the fountain, all right? But when he releases his fountain, then he wants to seed it with some things before he unlocks it. He's going to put some things in the Lord. I have a message called The Blessings in the Water. God doesn't do anything, anywhere, at any time that's new unless he puts it under the water. It's his way. Children of Israel had to go through the water. Children of Israel, come out of Egypt, you got to go through a baptism. Go into the promised land, baptism. Jesus himself, before he was anointed, baptism. He told John, no sprinkling, John, put me under. You got to go through a baptism. Even Peter didn't even know it the day he was fishing in his birthday suit. He's in a baptism. What happens right after that? The Lord commissions him on the spot. He just went through a baptism. When God made man, just didn't form him in the dust. He actually, the water came up from the ground. It didn't rain in those early days. And he covered the whole earth with the face of the water. And then he reached through the water into the dust. And he pulled the clay out of the water, and he forged man. And then he breathed, whew, the life of God. That's why the Lord did the holy spittle thing, by the way. He mixed it with the clay, and he rubbed that clay, immediately is healed. He was showing how creation, the mystery of creation in his miracle there, part of the waters. Everything he did in John with the waters, he was demonstrating. You understand his first miracle was the mystery of it all. Fill the water pots with living water and then draw it out. What we are is a water pot, about 5% water, the rest a whole bunch of other stuff. And we're saying, God, bring revival. draw the water out. And God said, I would, but it's a 95% the dysfunction that's in the water. And I really need to get your water pot filled a little more. Because listen, it's not just water that you could say, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. When these waters release, they destroy everything that's not according to their nature. These waters supersede every system operation known to the world system, sin, death, sickness, disease. And whenever they release, whether they release into your soul, your body, or outward for manifestation, when these waters release, they will immediately overcome the nature that they come against. Isn't that powerful? It already did it. I don't need to convince you what happened to your spirit, do I? I don't have to convince you that that's going to happen to your body. But we're in this sandwich between being born again and resurrection day. Well, what do I do now? Well, we're going to go and get some of that water. And we're going to pull it out. Amen? I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5 out of NIV because it's awesome. Let's read verse 4 again. It said, mortality might be swallowed up of life. He's talking about the fullness redemption, all right? Now what's he's going to say about this? He said, listen, your mortal body's going to get swallowed up with the same life your spirit got swallowed up with, because it's the same life that's swallowing them both up. You're going to get swallowed. Now verse 5 is NIV. He says, now the one who fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us His Spirit as a deposit, a guarantee of what is to come. The one who fashioned us for this very purpose has given us of His Spirit a deposit to guarantee what is to come in the glorification of our body. In other words, whatever spirit he was talking about in there is a guarantee. It's a guaranteed of a glorified body. In other words, the glorified body is already pre-programmed into a guarantee that's inside of you. Say, the guarantee is inside of me. Now, if you read that as the Holy Spirit, I understand you want to do that, but I'm telling you what this is. This is the law of the Spirit of life. And what happens is, because that's how you're born again, it's the Holy Spirit that took that law and He raises you from death to life. But the Holy Spirit didn't have that law to work with in the Old Testament. So He put His anointing on prophet, priest, and kings in the New Testament. See, the Holy Spirit didn't even come to live until you ask Him, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? When you believe, it's a different spirit that's coming into you. It's the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's called the life. We beheld the life. The life was manifested. We beheld the glory of the only begotten. All that life is up inside of you in the form of a law, but more than a law. And wherever that law is released, instantaneously, anything that's dead will immediately be overcome. Immediately. That's why he said the greater works, because if you think healing somebody, I'm about to take someone who's eternally dead spirit and I'm going to bring it to life. And he says the guarantee is this law of the Spirit of life up inside of you. Why? Because inside of it, it's programmed to release again. Say release. Multiply. All right, go to Romans 8. That's why he said, I reckon the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared for the glory that will be what? Revealed in us. It's already in you. It's already programmed to orchestrate a resurrection. And your redemption will complete across the board. Your body is going to be born again. Your spirit is born again. Everything about you is life. And there is no more death, sin, temptation, darkness. Nothing. It's gone forever. Now, he's going to say this in Romans, and I'm going to give you this to chew on. Look at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Do you know you can be born again without the Holy Spirit? You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're still saved. There's a whole denominations out there that don't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they're still born again. You know why? They have the law of the Spirit of life. They have Christ in them, the hope of glory. They have the life already up inside them. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. But the Spirit is what? Life. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about your spirit. Your spirit is passed from death to life. And now the same life that was in him, as the Father had life in himself, he gave Christ to have the life in himself. And Christ executed the judgment against your spiritually dead nature. And he put his life inside of you. Now you have the eternal wellspring of life that can overcome death in a moment's notice. It can overcome disease in a moment's notice. It can overcome the systems of this world in a moment's notice. It can overcome 500 years of dysfunction in a moment's notice. It can overcome any stronghold you're dealing with a moment's notice. As soon as it reaches. But that law was programmed for born again, and that law was programmed for resurrection. But it was also programmed to spring up a well within my soul. But see, you got it when you believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth. The second resurrection, you don't have anything to do with it. You can be total unbeliever as far as, I don't believe all this, but I'm saved. You're going to get the new body. As long as Christ is in you, you're going to get it. It don't have nothing to do with your faith. But if you want that stuff that's up in there to release now, stay tuned for coming attractions, because we're about to get on that fountain and we're about to unlock that thing. Amen. We're about to unlock the goods. Now, let me give you this verse to chew on. This one is it. I want you to chew away this week. All right. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal, your mortal body by his Spirit that's dwelling in you. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit right there. That's talking about the life. If the life that originated with the Father, that came by way of the Lord Jesus, if that law of the Spirit of life is dwelling in you, the same life from him that raised him from the dead, which the Father raised him from the dead, if that life is in you, but if the law of the Spirit of life that is from him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if that dwells in you now, in other words, you're born again, if that's dwelling in you now, he that raised Christ from the dead, which is the Father, shall also quicken your mortal body by the same law of the Spirit of life that's dwelling in you, saying the glory is within. The law of the Spirit of life is within. If the law of the Spirit of life is in you right now that raised Jesus from the dead, that same law is going to do what it did to your spirit. It's going to do to your mortal body. The same law. Why? Because it's already programmed. It's already inside you. It's already with you. Gotta finish with something awesome, right? Martha in John 11 came to the Lord. Lord, if you had just but been here, my brother would not be dead. And Jesus said, did I not say to you? And she said, yeah, I know what you said. I understand. That you would see the glory of God if you would believe. She goes, yeah. I got it, Lord. Now, she did get that. She listened to his teachings. She said, I know he's going to be raised again at the resurrection of the last days. Which is what we've been talking about, right? I know that whatever you've been talking about, that's going to happen to him in the last days. And you know what the Lord did? He said, I am that resurrection. And I am that life. And to prove it to you, I'll just pull that day that's due that day. And I'm going to pull it right here to the now. And he spoke to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. In 3 days, he walked immediately. That life hit Lazarus' body. And he came right out of that grave. What she attributed to the final days of humanity
see, Jesus said, now I am that life. And that life he spoke of is up inside of you. And if he can make a demand on it, you can make a demand on it. He pulled that life into the now. The life that can raise your body from the dead. The life that can release up inside of you. The life that can remove the dysfunction you and I have been dealing with for years. Because I am that resurrection. That same one that spoke that is up inside of you. The law of the Spirit of life is alive and well on the inside of you. And we're going to start tapping it now. We're going to start giving some attention to it. We're going to start speak to the rock Moses, and the rock will give its water. That rock was Christ. Speak. Don't beat it. Speak. Speak to the rock. And look, if they can speak to a rock and bring water out of it, we can speak to Christ inside of us. Say, water, multiply, spring up, oh well, within my soul, and bring this law of the Spirit of life and make me whole. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.
If that law of the Spirit of life could overcome your spirit and definitely overcome Lazarus' body, what is it going to overcome in between if we can get it flowing? It's more than joy, my friend. It has joy in it. It's a whole lot more than pleasure forevermore. It's got power to overcome death itself. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.